Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands to-
Thank you.
hear the name of Jesus. There is power. Jesus, to break every chain, break every
you need an army to rise up and help you when you can't help yourself. Sometimes you need an army just to show up in your place. Sometimes you just need to cry for some help. But I like that song. It said there's an army rising up. There's an army that's rising up, because I don't know about you, but maybe you ain't never had a couple of chains. Maybe you ain't never had a couple of chains holding you back. But it's good to know that chains are falling off. It's good to know that chains are falling, that chains are breaking. I feel that this morning. Some chains are falling off. Somebody somewhere at home right now, some chains are falling off. Just one time. I know she wanted, but I feel. Come on.
Break every chain. Break every chain. There's an army rising up,
yeah, there's an army, come on.
There's an army rising up, there's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every
to the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music, the place where chains do fall off, the place where you can come for healing and deliverance, the place you can come to be set free. We're so grateful you decided to join us this morning. We're grateful for the handful of you all that showed up in here today, but we're grateful, mostly grateful, for those of you who are watching online, wherever you are, whether it be on our Facebook stream or on our YouTube stream. Go ahead and tell somebody you're watching The Birthplace. Hit that share button. Let the people know. Let the people know that you're watching the church full of redeemed folks. You're watching a church of folks that have had some chains to fall off. Let the people know that you're watching The Birthplace of Gospel Music. We're so grateful to have you in here today, my God. Let us go to the throne in prayer. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, we're so grateful, God, that you showed us mercy one more time, that you allowed us to be on this side of heaven today, God. Lord God, we're thankful and we're grateful, God, that you've given us the opportunity again to come into this place, God, this place called Ebenezer, God. We're grateful right now, God, that you allowed us to breathe one more time this morning, God, that you blew your breath in us, hey, the Ruha this morning. We're grateful, God, that you allowed us one more time to show up and worship you in this place. Now, God, be with every musician, be with the preacher on the preached word today, God. Even those sitting in this place, God, give them a fresh word and a fresh anointing, God, so that they may leave this place, God, different than how they showed up. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Our scripture text today comes from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, chapter 19, the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We're reading the 15th verse, and then we're going to drop down to the 17th verse. Leviticus chapter 19. Amen. Amen. And it reads, verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Jump with me to 17, and it says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. The word of God is already blessed. Amen.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmony of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as a listening sky. Let it resound loud as the love of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, in this place, the Negro National Anthem. We thank Sister Peral for lending her gifts as she led that song on this, the last Sunday in the month of Black History. Welcome once again to this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We are so excited that you are with us this morning, joining in worship. For those handful of people we have here, the usual crowd, we are excited to see you. And also those who are watching live stream, we are excited that you are here. I am Reverend Daryl Person, the senior pastor of this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. And as Minister Dr. King has already asked, I'm going to ask you again to please share this worship service with family and friends and acquaintances. Invite them to join with you here in worship via this live stream. We pray that after having watched this, you will be blessed real good. I have a few announcements that I'd like to make this Sunday morning.
We are continuing in our season of Lent, and we hope you are following the schedule as we as a collective body in Christ are reading through the New Testament these 40 days of Lent. You can get that schedule on our website at EbenezerBronzeville.org, and you can follow along with us as we continue to read the New Testament. We also have committed to corporate prayer during this Lenten season. Thank God for the handful of you who joined us on our Zoom platform this past Wednesday. We will be back again this Wednesday at 6:15 for our corporate prayer, followed by Bible study at 6:30. I know there are people on this stream that understands the power of prayer. Prayer changes things and changes situations and changes you. And if it doesn't change your situation, it'll change you to deal with your situation. So we invite you to take advantage of a powerful tool that God has given unto us, the power of prayer. And also during this season of Lent, Ebenezer is not necessarily doing inreach, we are doing outreach. And so we have purposed and joined to help a women's shelter. We're asking you to donate new socks, white socks preferably, but if there are other colors, it's for adults and children, that will be fine. We are gathering these socks up during the season of Lent to present them to this women's shelter in our community. So please help us. You can drop that off by the church Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday between 9 and 2. Someone will be here to accept your donation. Again, we need brand new socks in the bag still, not the ones you don't wear anymore. Amen. I know some of y'all are laughing right now, but we're serious. So please, please, we want to give our best. We don't want to give our leftovers. We want to give our best to the community. And then we're also doing the Warm Hearts Community Outreach, the Warm House, Warm Hearts Community Outreach. That's where we're trying to give gloves and hats and some other little things to the homeless in our community. What we're asking you to do to donate $27, and that would cover the cost of the things that we will be donating to the homeless community. Now, the way in which you can make this donation is to go directly to our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org. Go to where it says offering, click on that, and you will see a subcategory come down, and then you go all the way down, and you'll see the Warm Hearts Community Outreach. I know you'll be able to find it. Just take your time and support this effort. We're trying to donate at least 50 boxes to the homeless of what we're going to be giving to them. So thank you for your support. We also are happy to announce that the second Sunday in March, is the second pastoral anniversary of yours truly here at Ebenezer, year number 2. I hope it won't be the year of the terrible twos, but it's year number 2. And so we are excited what God has done in the almost 2 years. And we're also happy to announce that Dr. Henry Barlow of the Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church of Chicago will be our guest speaker in the sanctuary for this virtual anniversary service. He will be here at the 11 o'clock, and we are so happy that Dr. Barlow has accepted the invitation to be with us the second Sunday in March. Also, I know that there are many people who are asking, is Ebenezer reopening soon? The answer is yes. Stay tuned for details. There will be some details coming out so that you will know what to expect and what the expectations are. We are encouraging our members to do the research and then go ahead and get vaccinated. That will make certain that you are safe, we are safe, and we are encouraging all of our members to get vaccinated. I know it's a personal choice. You need to make the best choice for you, but I'm asking you to do the research. I have taken the vaccine, got both shots, and I am feeling great, wonderful. My family, my wife, same. She was one of the first ones to take it. She's doing great. So please take the vaccine, but knowing that we still, once we come back into the building, we will still have to wear a mask and we will still have to socially distance and we'll still have to check your temperature, because we recognize, though some restrictions have been left, let me tell you something for real, this thing is not over. This pandemic is not over. There are people who are still being impacted, who are dying. And many of us have paid an awful price because of this pandemic. And so we don't want to get laxed in our preventative measures. It's just to come back into the building. So please, we'll be coming out with words and what we are expecting. And we have the diaconal ministry, the deacons who will be heading that up to make certain that we come back appropriately. And so stay tuned. But we are looking to late March to come back in this building. So continue to pray. And if everything stays the same, we will be able to do that. To God be the glory. Also, we want to say thank you to all of you who were present on yesterday for the homegoing celebration of Brother Bobby Thomas Bland. We had a wonderful celebration of his life, and we thank God for all of you all who lend your gifts and your graces to celebrate our beloved Bobby. And we will continue to pray for Bobby's family as they continue to adjust to their new reality. And then finally, we're asking that you continue to vote for Brother Ronald Taylor, the son of Sister Vivian Taylor, who is running for favorite chef. Go on the Facebook Live. You have to be a Facebook Live, have a Facebook account to vote for this brother, this African-American brother who is competing to be favorite chef. And Ebenezer, we want you, and Ebenezer, friends of Ebenezer's, we want you to vote. And the good news is we can practice old-time Chicago voting habits. We can vote more than once. We can vote more than once, so let's do that to help this brother win this competition. Let us continue with the balance of our service as we continue to give honor and glory to God.
God's brought me through. somehow. Yeah, somehow. Through it all, God's brought me through. I used to stop sometime and ask God for direction. Fasting and praying and asking for his protection. Through storm and rain, heartache and pain. Through storm and rain, heartache and pain. Through it all, God brought me through. Somehow. Oh, somehow, through it all, God's brought me through. Somehow, yeah, somehow, through it all, God's brought me through. I used to stop sometime and ask God for direction. Fasting and praying and asking for his protection. Through the storm and rain, heartache and pain. Through the storm and rain, heartache and pain. Trying not to complain. My friends talked about me. Began to lie my name. So I got down on my knees. I got down on my knees. Made it on my knees. I asked God about it. I asked God about it, made it on my knees. In the midnight hour, early in the morning, I got down on my knees. I asked God about it, I asked God about it. Pain is on my knees. Early in the morning, I got down on my knees. Through it all, God brought me through. Somehow, yeah, somehow, through it all, God brought me through. Somehow, yeah, somehow, through it all, God's brought me through. Somehow I made it. Somehow I made it through it all. God's brought me through. Somehow, yeah, somehow, through it all, God's brought me through.
Somehow. Somehow, through it all, he brought me through. Through it all, anybody in the room recognize that somehow, some way, you don't know how it happened, but somehow, some way, God was able to bring you through. I look like I had one witness back over there with my left shoulder. Somehow, some way, God brought you through. Amen. Amen. Look, it is that time of the service where you can play your part. Maybe you can't sing on key. Maybe you can't play an instrument. But look, this is the part of the service that you can do your best part. It's offering time. It's offering time. It's offering time. That's right. That's right. That's right. All you got to do, watch this. It's real simple. It's real simple. For those of you watching at home,
on your screen right now. On your screen right now, you're going to see the ways that you can give. The first way, of course, is going to our website, EbenezerBronzeville.org. The pastor just gave you those same that same information about 2 minutes ago. But EbenezerBronzeville.org, you can go there and hit the Give Now button. Hit the Give Now button right there. Hit that Give Now button, and you can give there. If you want to text to give, you can text to give right there. That number is on your screen. You can text to give right now. Just go ahead and text to give. You text the number, and then you put in the amount. That's right. You put in the amount that you want to give, that God places on your heart to give. And then you can go old school. That's right. You can go old school. You can drop it in the mail or drop it off at 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, 60653 Chicago, Illinois. Amen. Amen. Look, we are so grateful for you all today. Amen. Amen. So we going to. Oh, okay. All right. You don't want me to sing, I know. All right. We shall, we shall overcome. Amen. Amen. Don't scare the people.
shall overcome one someday. We are grateful yet again to be at this point and place of our worship experience as we remember those who are sick among us and those who are not sick but requesting prayer, those who have praise reports. We're remembering all of them today. We're remembering in prayer Deacon James Smith, who is requesting prayer, Sister Mary Alexander, Brother Mark Harris, brother, Brother Ray Harris, remembering him in prayer, who has a major surgery this week. We're remembering in prayer Lenore Elms, Imogene McCray, Sarah Billups, Grace Lee. We're continuing to pray for Brother Kenneth Sexton, Shirley Anderson, Mary Sumter, Janie Burns. We're continuing to pray for those who are bereaved among us, remembering the Briscoes, Lindsay Mayfield, remembering Brother Rob Martin, who is requesting prayer. We're remembering those who are yet still impacted by the disease, the COVID-19. We're thanking God for those who are on the mend and those who are yet still living with the disease, the after effects of the disease. Continuing to pray for school systems as children are returning hybrid learning. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we come to you yet again on a Sunday morning, seeking your grace and seeking your mercy. Coming before you, O God, because we know that you hear, but better than that, you answer prayer. And so, God, we petition you right now on behalf of those whose names we have lifted this day. We are interceding on behalf of members and friends and e-members around this globe who are seeking you, seeking special prayer right now. So God, we ask in the name of Jesus to have mercy in the lives of our brothers and sisters. For those who are seeking healing, we ask, oh God, for your healing touch right now. For those, oh God, who are suffering from depression and anxiety, God, we ask that you have mercy right now. For our young people, oh God, who are trying to find their way, God, we ask that you might give direction right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're lifting up this morning Liberty Baptist Church as they are preparing to celebrate the life of their pastor emeritus Daryl Jackson. We pray for Sister Jackson right now and the entire Liberty Baptist Church family. We pray for Pastor Andrew Hunt, oh God, who is leading that congregation during this time as they celebrate their pastor emeritus. God, we're asking that you would bless all churches that are opened in your name. We ask, oh God, that churches like Ebenezer, oh God, will seek to be relevant during these dark and difficult times, oh God. Cause the people, oh God, to see and hear a message of hope
from those whose doors are open in your name. God, we recognize that we have a major role to play. And so, God, we ask, oh God, that you would unify us so that we might make a difference, not only in our own homes, but in the homes around our church and beyond. That we'll have make a difference, oh God, in the lives of those who join us weekly through the internet, oh God. We recognize, oh God, that the gospel music, gospel message has great reach. And we're asking, oh God, that you would help us to be an extension of that reach online and within our community. God, we ask right now that you would be in the balance of this service, knowing, oh God, that I'm just a vessel. I'm just asking, God, that you utilize me, not for any personal glory or fame, but in the end, someone's heart might be lifted, someone's mind might be encouraged, that someone might be inspired, oh God, to seek a real and real relationship with you. So God, hide me behind the cross, so when I step before the people, they will see you and not me. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way today. Give us the increase. This is our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I am certain of that song has gotten our people through many struggles. It is a hymn of the church that is timeless. So I believe that it will sustain us even yet right now, and that it will carry us forward in the days and weeks that lie ahead. We thank her for lending her
Sister Peral lifting her voice and her gifts to us this morning. We would ask, as you are watching, if you have appreciated or have been touched by the gifts that God has given her, send a message in the chat, if you please. Because she can't hear you say amen through the stream. So just send a shout out over the stream. Let us know so that we might encourage her as well as we encourage our own Brother Hill. We thank you for Brother Deacon Hill for your willingness to use your gifts for God's glory. For God's glory. This is the last Sunday of Black History Month, and I have intentionally been trying to preach with that in mind. As we recognize that Black history is something that has often been ignored down through the years, and it's up to us to celebrate our history and our legacy and the contributions that our community has made. And one of the greatest contributions that our community has made is not only through music, but also the church. We know that the church has had a profound presence in our communities since our time coming over here. And so we celebrate Black history because we recognize that Ebenezer, in a real sense, is living history, as we have the honor of being the place where gospel music started, the birthplace of gospel music, right here in Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. And so I have tried and am going to always try to focus on our history, what makes us a great people, and what makes us great Christians in the sight of God. It was read into your hearing earlier, Leviticus 19 and 15 and verse 17, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. I want to speak just for a few minutes from the subject, colorless Christianity. Colorless Christianity. In 1959, at the height of the civil rights movement, John Howard Griffin, a white journalist from Dallas, Texas, negotiated with Sepia magazine to finance his journey as a Black man in America and publish his findings. He underwent a series of treatments to alter his pigmentation, and inspired by poet Langston Hughes' poem Dream Variations, traveled throughout the racially segregated states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, chronicling his experience on the other side of the color line. His 188-page diary of his encounter was the genesis for his book, Black Like Me, published in 1961. Can we ever really know what it's like to live in another person's skin? Can an executive know the anguish of a homeless man? Can a happily married couple understand the challenges of single parenting? Can a white man comprehend the misery of what it's like to be stigmatized by skin color and spend a lifetime fighting your way back from irrelevancy?
You see, there is foolishness in prejudging another. Someday you might end up in those very same shoes. Way before Christ uttered his famous instruction, "Judge not, that ye be not judged," Matthew 7 and 1, the teaching of tolerance was a civilized way of life for the nomadic Jews, springing from God's commandment that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Leviticus, the third book in the Pentateuch, written by Moses, expounds on this idea of camaraderie and acceptance as a spiritual tool of a peaceful community. Discrimination was frowned upon as a barbaric concept that bred division and disunity. In fact, the greatest danger in prejudgment, according to our text, is that we could end up dividing ourselves by class and culture and commerce. Does this Leviticus law do anything for us today? Well, today we're going to take a closer look to see how our lives stand up against Moses' rule of law. First, Moses' law affirms the need for honesty. Moses wrote, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." Moses here is warning us that fair judgment can only happen when we remove irrelevant perceptions. Because there's a lot of unrighteous judgment going around in the 21st century. Well, what do you mean, preacher? We judge people by their color, by their creed, and their culture. We judge people by their habits and hobbies and handicaps. We judge people by their angel face or freckle face or pimple face. We judge people by their temperament, their environment, and their accent. We judge people by their income, their outcome, and their ability to overcome. Moses warns that these acts of unrighteousness have no place in the judgment arena. You see, we as people of God are supposed to see others through God's eyes, not our own. What is it like to see people through God's eyes? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, but God chose him to lead the Hebrews to the promised land. Joshua was young and inexperienced, but God chose him to command the host of Israel. David was the youngest son of Jesse, but God chose him to be king. Deborah was a woman, but God chose her to lead an army of 10,000 men. And all of these chosen were successful. It's evident that God has a much clearer vision than we do. You see, God is able to see the virtue in every man and woman, regardless of your appearance or your past. You see, we have a tendency to judge people by their appearance and their past, but God says, "I can use anybody and everybody, regardless of what they look like and where they come from, for my glory." Second, Moses' law condemns favoritism. Favoritism, the hookup. Moses continues with, "Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty." Did you get that? Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. One of the things that we know as African Americans Our justice system has a major problem with favoritism. You only have to look at the sentencing statistics and prison demographics for confirmation. Some are more likely to go to jail than the others, and you know who that some is. The rich, the famous, and the Caucasian seem to get a better deal. Back in the 20th century, we blame the justice system's disparate sentencing on poor legal representation. But in this 21st century, we smell a different rat. The all too familiar stench of favoritism on the bench. Anybody see the impeachment trials? I mean, with video evidence right out in front of us all in plain sight, President 45 was found not guilty. I mean, what more do you need? Poverty or the color of one's skin should not be cause for condemnation. Now, I didn't say that. God did. And make no mistake about it, the opposite also holds true. Letting someone slide because he is rich is wrong too. Equal justice under the law has to be more than a catchy political phrase. But let's not just indict the judicial system for its unfair application of favoritism. Our court system has company. Aren't we often just as guilty of favoritism? You know, the homeless man you snubbed the other day, or perhaps the neighbor you won't speak to because she's not your kind, or the church member you refuse to sit next to, and only God knows why. Or the young millennial you ignore because of the dreadlocks in their hair and the nose rings they wear. Consider all the people you refuse to associate with for no valid reason other than your prejudicial assessment. I don't like the way he looks. Sister girl is too outspoken. He don't have two nickels to rub together. They look strange. Their clothes are too flashy. Those heels are too high. You just mad because you can't wear them no more. We just have to admit it. We have to admit it. We prejudge all the time. And the tragedy is, imagine how many opportunities we've missed to build solid and meaningful relationships with people who may look different, but on the inside are just like us. Consider how many lost opportunities to share the good news of Jesus the Christ with someone who does not know him and may never get to know him because they didn't look right to us. The Apostle Paul had to learn that hard lesson when he went to the home of Cornelius, the centurion in Acts 10. God spoke to Cornelius and told him to send for Peter. At first, Brother Peter was hesitant. After all, Jews didn't associate with people of other nations. Read your Bible. But God force-fed Peter a heavenly lunch of unclean meat to make his point that if God says it's kosher, it's kosher. And when Peter got over himself, he went to Caesarea and shared the love of Christ with Cornelius, and Cornelius and his whole household were saved. Maybe there's some relationship you need to work on. Someone you've been thinking of as unclean or unworthy of your time. Somebody you've written off is not suitable or to your liking. Now is a good time to shed the dishonesty and the favoritism and do a 180-degree flip like Peter. Finally, Moses' law demands justice. God makes it real plain. Moses writes, "But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor? And what is righteousness but the virtue of moral decency? And who is thy neighbor but anyone with whom you come in contact?" Moses writes in the 17th verse, he says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart." We justify our injustice by telling ourselves, "I don't hate anyone. I just have preferences." I talked about that a couple of Sundays ago. We have our preferences. That's what we call it. We justify our hate by saying, "I just dislike some people." But if you read a little further in the book of Leviticus, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so the question is, do you dislike yourself? I don't know about you, but I love me some me. I don't know about you, but maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe that's why some people are grumpy and mean-spirited towards others and can't seem to crack a smile no matter what you say to them. The way you treat yourself colors the way you treat others. And the way you treat others colors the way they treat you. Whatever your motivation for the way you treat others, God says it ought to be grounded in love. You ought to love yourself. Why? Because God loves you. And therefore, you ought to love others for the same doggone reason. God loves them too. That's the only true foundation on which to mete out real justice. John Howard Griffin wanted to experience what it's like to live as a black man. Jesus Christ challenges us to a greater test, to live life as a Christian who judges all people equally, a Christian who shows no favoritism, a Christian who loves his neighbor as himself. We are called to live a life of colorless Christianity. Is it easy for this frail human composition? Yes. But if we let Christ take up residence within our hearts and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, we soon discover that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Those who hate are called to turn from their wicked ways, but the hated have the greater calling. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of evil against you falsely." It's an opportunity, a chance to return hate with love. Jesus was a master of returning hate with love. On the cross of Calvary, experiencing the greatest hate of all, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His words gripped the hearts of his haters. Even the centurion guard said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." You see, love is the secret to Christ's growing grip on our world. His love, beloved, has lifting power. It will lift your enemies to a higher understanding of what it means to live as a colorless Christian. If you shower others with the love of Christ, it will lift us out of our own despair. It will lift us out of the despair of discrimination. It will lift us out of the intolerance of injustice. It will lift us out of the pain of prejudice. It will lift us out of the injustice of inequity. It will lift us out of the bias of bigotry. It will lift us out of the hopelessness of hate. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So that's what we must do. We will lift the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We're going to lift him up as we lift our people up. I know we are living through turbulent days of uncertainty. Indeed, we live in a day of grave crisis. But in these days, our only hope is to lift him up. What did the songwriter say? How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Don't exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the deacons. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find that his promise is true. He'll do the drawing of all men and women unto him. It is my hope that as we conclude this month of Black history, that we will seek to be colorless Christians as we seek to lift the name of Jesus, the word of God, for the people of God. And all of God's people said, amen. At this time, we will extend an invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer. We will open the doors of the church. What that simply means is that we're extending an invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer. You can't walk down the aisle right now because we're not fully opened or have not opened our doors to in-person worship, but you can still make your desires known if you would just put your email address in the chat section, the comment section. One of our deacons, our church clerk, will follow up with you with an invitation for you to connect with us. We will go over the plan of salvation just to be sure that you are in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And then when we have been able to open the doors fully and are able to come back in mass, we'll extend the right hand of fellowship with you. And if you are a new convert, we will baptize you so that you can be a full-fledged member of the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. And so now is the appointed time. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Make the commitment today. You know you want to do it. You are on the edge of your seat. Now is the appointed time. Because, beloved, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We can be here today and gone the next minute. So take this opportunity today. Again, just put your email in the chat section. We will follow up with you. We praise God for those who've already made that commitment, already said they want to be a part of this fellowship. Because Ebenezer is on the move. We recognize that we have things to do. We have souls to save. We have communities to help restore. We are on the move. Why don't you join us? Join with us in this great work. We don't care if you live in another city or a state. You can become what we have called an e-member and be a part of this great work in ministry. The doors of the church are open. Is there one today? Is there two? Make the commitment today. God is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Is there one today? The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open.
dear one.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As we prepare to depart from this place and prepare to offer the benediction, I would invite you again to take heed to all of the announcements that were made. Please go to our EbenezerBronzeville.org, our website, for additional information about what we're doing and what we're about. There you'll find all the information. You can subscribe to our Facebook page as well, or YouTube. We invite you to do that. I want to say just two more things. I want to say thank you. I don't want to ever take anybody for granted. So I want to say thank you to our musicians for your continued labor of love, to our guest soloists who come and bless us and give us everything that they have, to our Deacon Mayberry, Deacon Hill, who are here, Deacon Mayberry here every Sunday on his knees praying. I want to thank our media team, Minister Dana King, Minister Dr. Dana King, and Sister Latanya Melton. Thank you for what you do, for the work, the excellence in which you render unto God. To all of our musicians, to our custodian who's here Sunday morning, first person or second person in the building sometimes, who's here. Thank you. Thank you. You make the ministry go forward. This is not a one-man thing. I just get to be the senior pastor, but I recognize it takes a team to do what we're trying to accomplish. And I thank God that he has allowed me to serve in the capacity that I'm in. But I know that part of the responsibility is also affirming the team, those people whose names aren't always called. It ain't got nothing to do with them getting the check either. Because there's some people that get checks in this world, you don't want what they offer. But we praise God for those who are being compensated as they should be and are giving their best to the glory of God. They're giving their best. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do. And we pray that God will pour back into you a double portion of blessing for what you have rendered for his glory. Thank you once again. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to him who's able to present you before his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor and glory, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And remember to be kind to one another.
Come on, Zion, we praise our King.
Come on, open your mouth.
He's a great God.
He's a great God.
He's a great God.